Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada, our favorite neighbor to the north. I learned from Conrad Black, distinguished biographer and the author of the new book, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, is also a man who's brought me facts about the Canadian citizens and the tax burden and what you get for your money in Canada. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Writing in the National Post, I'm ignorant of these stats until I read them. I imagine all Canadians are aware of them and they're nodding their heads at me. Where have you been, John? But really, the average Canadian family paid over $48,000 in 2022 taxes, more than 45% of its income, and more than what the average family spends on food, housing, clothing. You're taxed to extinction. And what do you get for it? Your recounting of the healthcare system means, yikes, flee to the U.S. And billions, more than $250 billion, have fled the country since 2014. What is going on in Ottawa? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's hard for me to believe this, but I don't think that this government realized that they could get into the box they have. I don't know what kind of naive predictions and analyses they were operating under that they could make it an uncompetitive place to invest because of the tax system and in effect tax productivity and tax incentive and still have steadily rising revenue so they could spread the money around in exchange for the votes of the constituencies they're addressing. And all of us, I mean, I was one, but I was one of a great many who warned them again and again and again it was going to be a disaster. Money would flee the country. Economic growth would collapse. We would cease to be competitive with all sorts of countries. And it was going to put great stress on the country internally. And all of that has happened. And I just don't understand it in a free country, which this is, when the government has this deafening cacophony of people, not just crackpots, and I'm certainly not talking about myself, but serious people in different positions of authority and knowledge, but high knowledge and experience in the key areas of the economy and society, the healthcare system and so on, all of them warning them that this wasn't going to work. You know, it's like people warning someone that he can't do a loop-the-loop in an airplane or the wings will fall off, and he does it anyway, and the wings fall off. That's what's happened to us. Now, fortunately, it's a rich country with a skilled workforce and a history of peaceful, law-abiding government, and we can put it right. It's a good country. There's nothing wrong with it that a couple of years of good government wouldn't straighten it. But it's got to happen. I mean, even a rich country like this can go to pieces if you misgovern long enough.
Let's focus on the money fleeing the country. The actual number is $285 billion since 2014. Why? Is that the pandemic, or is that just bad business conditions because of regulation? What explains it?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a pandemic, but it's not like Venezuela or something where simply all the money leaves. It's just a deficit over a period. And in an economy of coming up to, what do we know, in Canadian dollars, $2 trillion a year is the GDP. That doesn't flatten everybody, but it gives you practically no growth in standard of living. And as investment shrinks, I mean, this is a country that doesn't generate enough capital that can finance its own growth and export a lot of money like it's doing. And so, you know, the consequences are that we're steadily less competitive, and the standard of living, which basically just the GDP divided by the population, moves very slowly. So we're getting all these countries like South Korea and the Czechs and Israel, even Israel votes at war, gaining on us, you know. And when I was a young person, the only country in the world with a better standard of living than Canada was the U.S., and it wasn't much better. It was just a little better. And that, I'm leaving out the petro states and the tax haven states. I'm not talking about Monaco and Qatar or something. I'm talking about proper national economies. We were second. You were first, and we were second. Now you're about fifth or something, and we're about 15th. We've simply got to pull up our socks. The people aren't lazy, and the country isn't poor. We've just got to do better. In a democracy, you get the government you deserve. So we can't just wring our hands about the government. We've put them there.
This detail, 4.1 million government employees. I can't tell. That sounds very high, and they're paid very well. Can that be number cut back? Can you go to...
Of course it can. It's an absurd number. It's like having 35 million public employees in the United States. It's an outrageous figure. It's just feather bedding, you know?
Where did it come from? Is that a tradition to work for the government and make more money than people who don't?
Well, in the less prosperous provinces, there is that tradition that you get transfers of money from the wealthiest to the least wealthy provinces, and they use the money basically to as a welfare system. They call it public sector jobs, but it's really just paying people off. It's part of the welfare system. Now, they do some work for it. But, for example, when Newfoundland joined Canada, they ceased processing fish on the fishing ships and moved it to the land. And they cycled the entire unemployed workforce through there during the year and collected the Canadian Unemployment Insurance Plan, which Newfoundland didn't have before. So you get a bit of that. But for the most part, we're just talking about governments wasting money.
Paul Evra, the leader of the Conservatives, does he have an answer to this?
Yes, he made the parties here have a conference every year, like the British parties, not like the Americans. Your parties only meet every 4 years. But the conference they had in Quebec City in the autumn, he laid out a very comprehensive program how to deal with the housing problem. We're admitting all these immigrants, which I'm in favor of. They come in legally, and we need more people. And these are, good people that come in. But we haven't expanded the housing to provide for them. So, they come in and they've created this or aggravated this housing crisis. Accommodation is terribly expensive and aggravated the problems of the health service, which we've simply misadministered. All the problems we made that every person in the different policy areas involved predicted would, if there were not corrective measures taken, lead to disaster. The measures weren't taken and the disasters have occurred. Now, in one sense, that's reassuring, but in another sense, it leaves us with a lot of disasters to clean up.
30 seconds, Conrad. Can the taxes be cut quickly, swiftly, or is Parliament going to throw up obstructions?
No, here we've got a much smoother system than you do. The problem you get is debates with the provinces about sharing concurrent tax jurisdictions. But here, if the government commands a majority in Parliament, it can put through practically anything it wants, unless it's unconstitutional. So it is a well-settled practice in this country that a government that is supported by a majority in Parliament, whether it's one party or another party supporting the main party, their tax bills are passed. They can raise them or lower taxes as they wish. And you can move a lot of income tax to types of sales tax, so it's kind of a voluntary tax. There's not tax on groceries and things, but taxes on sales taxes on things that are elective spending. So it's much less abrasive to the taxpayer and easier to collect.
that's a promising scenario. Is that realistic that Poilievre can, if elected, if made prime minister, can move on reducing the tax burden quickly in the foreseeable
future? I believe he would do it within a month of the election.
And how about
It's not that complicated in this country.
How about cutting back on the number of federal employees? Can that be done swiftly?
You've got to watch it a little bit there. He has the right to do it, but if you just start laying off tens of thousands of public sector employees, you're going to get strikes in important services. You've got to ease them out. You start by having a freeze, and when people retire, they're not replaced, you know. But even that way, over a couple of years, you can make a tremendous amount of progress.
Conrad Black, the author of the new, I highly recommend, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to the Caesars, writing at the National Post about the enormous burden on the taxpayers of Canada. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.